Praise God. All right, peeps. Oh, Lord. No pressure. Man. All right. Get a little settled here. Sorry, guys. Hold on. All right, praise God. I guess we'll start in scripture. Well, no, let me just break the ice a little bit. No, I'll do that later. All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1, 8. I heard, I think, maybe two amens. I'm going to wait a little longer. Oh, okay. Just making sure y'all ready. All right. All right. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. And to me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm also going to read scripture in Isaiah 43:10. They ready? All right. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after. And I'm going to stop there if we can all just pray. Father, we come before you as one body, asking that you would be in our midst. We open our hearts to you and your word, that you would open our spiritual lenses to see something new about you this evening. I submit my mouth, my heart, Lord Jesus, my spirit to you right now. And I pray that only your truth will be seen and heard in the message, Lord God, that would be revealed. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bear with me. You may be seated. Bear with me. I'm only up here because somebody made me. All right. Okay. So I'm going to, not that this has anything to do with the lesson, but I'm just going to be really cheesy for a minute, just be myself and just tell a couple little jokes. We can tell jokes in church. So what do you call a fibbing cat? A fibbing cat. Oh, you know the answer?
A lion.
A lion. And tell me the one superhero that always makes home runs. Home runs. Who said me? You the superhero? You know the superhero? Always makes home runs. God? He is a superhero. Superhero. Oh, yeah, facts. Okay. Well, he's my superhero. Nobody? Come on, y'all. Batman. Come on now. I told you I was going to tell you a corny, cheesy joke. Okay. Somebody laughed at it, Yolanda. All right. So before I tell the title of my message, towards the end of last year, I really got into a space where I was really, I'm gonna talk about people and I didn't ask about it. So you could be mad if you want to. Anyway, it's nothing bad. But I really started admiring Sister Dawn. We always hear about her harvest. She's always talking about her harvest. And not only does she talk about it, but you see it. You see it with your own eyes. And it's something that I really admired. And in my journey, ladies meeting 30 days a year and everything, I came to a place where I was like, you know what? I want to harvest. You know, when I was younger, I used to invite my friends and stuff to church. And a couple of them have been baptized in Jesus' name, and a couple of them were baptized in receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then you lose contact with them and you don't know where they are and if they're continuing their walk with Jesus. And then of course there's my kids, and then there's been a couple of other people, things like that. But no, I was really like hungering for like a real harvest. And so I went to her and I asked, I said, how do you do it? How do you pray for yourself? How do you pray for your harvest? What do you do? Share with me, pour into me. And one service, she came to me and she prayed with me. And she prayed for a double portion of harvest. And I'm thinking, you know, a double portion of Don's harvest, that's incredible to me, and it's a lot to me. And I took that in, and I took that into prayer, and I said, okay, Lord. First of all, you know some of my challenges. Y'all know some of my challenges. I don't feel like I'm a big talker. I don't really, you know, that's just not my thing. And I'm just like, Lord, how am I going to be a witness if, you know, I don't feel comfortable. It's a challenge to just talk. And he began to share with me, you know, maybe you really don't know what a witness is. It's not just about talking and running your mouth. I said, okay, Lord. So just continuing to pray, say, how am I going to do this, Lord? And then he gave this lesson to me. All right, where am I at? Lost my place. So the title of my message this evening is Becoming the Witness. Becoming the Witness. All right, so in prayer, I don't know how you guys talk to the Lord, but I've gotten to the place, or I feel like our relationship is at a place, you know, I can joke around with Jesus. He knows I can be stubborn at times and big-headed. The ladies know. I always talk about God's attitude. He always got an attitude and changing stuff up on me. But, you know, so I was talking to him, and I said, look, let's make a bargain. We have Don. We have Pastor, we have Brother Murray, we have Stephanie, we have Jordan, we have Whitney, we have November, all these people that witness and they testify about it and they talk about Jesus. I'm a worshiper, Lord. That's what I do. I don't witness. And it's kind of like witnessing, right? When I'm singing up there, right? No? Oh. Well, this is my conversation with the Lord. I was just like, it's kind of like witnessing. I'm talking about you or singing about you to everybody. So, you know, I don't really have to do it right. So I looked up the definition of witness, and we know that witness can be in a legal sense, you know, like in a case, you're a witness in a case. In Christianity, a witness is someone that shares the gospel, right? So first definition that I found was a person who sees an event, typically in a crime or accident that's taken place. And then this is the second definition is where it hit me. It just said evidence. Proof. And that's where I got chills. I said, all right, so that kind of did it for me. And if we drill down even further what evidence is, you agree that evidence, it has a weight, right? Because it's like an artifact of truth, right? So it's pretty significant. You go in a store somewhere, you go somewhere and there's a salesman and he's trying to sell you something. What do you look for? He's telling you this thing works like this and it'll do this for you, blah, blah, blah. And you want, show me the proof. Does it really work? Is it really what you're saying? It is. Is there a guarantee on it? Or someone tells you, I love you. What you looking for? Your actions, like, or even like I was talking about in a crime scene, a detective, he's looking for fingerprints, for evidence, to show true artifact in a case, right? So evidence is an available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or a proposition is true or valid. So, and the action of evidence is to be evidence. To be evidence. If we go back to Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be evidence unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. So when it comes to becoming a true witness, we are to become evidence to the lost world that there is a God. And yes, he's real. We become a walking proof and evidence that he is still alive, that he is still working miracles today. We become proof and evidence that there is really a way out of no way. We become the living proof that salvation is real and the power that he's put inside of us is real. You are a fingerprint of God and evidence that transformation can only come by him. Witnessing is not just about running your mouth and lip service, but more so evidence. The stories of old, the scriptures are not just fantasy and fairy tales, but it's actual truth. So just a little history. You know, I went into the Greek translations of witnessing, and the Greek word for witness is martis. And there are three other words, like derivations of the word martis. One is martyrian, and this is the act of witness. Number two is martria, yeah. And it is the testimony or testify, or this one can even go in the legal sense. And then there's martyrion. This is something evidential. It's evidence. So there you have it. In that context, in that scripture, witness, when he says we will be his witnesses, we are to be evidence. So I found a study on the Greek word and translation of the word witness in scripture that said there's a double meaning of this word, martis, which is witness in the text that says the object of the word witness is revealed truth. And when the truth is revealed about something, you have solid evidence. So this is where he started to show me a breakdown and some tools, some things that I can use to become a witness. Number one, we've heard it before, honor God. We do this by obeying him. When someone honors you, they put respect on your name, right? Just like Job, when Lucifer came, I mean, he bragged on Job. He knew that Job was going to make it through the trial, and Job did honor God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, according to Mark 16 and 15. So we hear it all the time. The leaders in our body are constantly telling us what three things that we need to do. Go ahead, shout them out. You know, pray, Bible study. Right. And they're telling us that not to, I guess, have a sense of claiming that you're a Christian. They're telling you that because the real reason is when you go into your Bible studies and you study it every single day, you start to feel comfortable enough to talk about Jesus. You get confident enough to start talking about Jesus. When you know about him and you've studied about him and you've prayed about him and you've had encounters with him, it's going to be easy for you to talk about him. So accept the fact that there will absolutely be rejection. It's part of the game when it comes to witnessing. They didn't listen to Jesus. They're not going to always listen to you. So I had to come to realization that, you know, if somebody's like, they're like, well, you're bad. No, just kidding. Don't do that. Take it into prayer. Don't be like me, y'all. Don't do it. All right. But rejection is part of the game, so get that in your system. The Lord told me that sinners are not my enemies. I'm going to tell you right now, the whole Pharisee in me came out. Because I was like, I can name 40, 50 in less than 5 seconds. Okay, Jesus, let me let you know. But in John 3:16, it said, God so loved. But when I read it, it said, God so loved Nanette and all her splendor. So, you know, that's why I was feeling that way. We already know what to do. But yes, he died for all those 40 suckers that I was just about to mention to you about 5 seconds ago. But anyway, so Jesus made other people important. So people outside of the church body are important to Jesus. So what I didn't really grasp was the fact that once I said yes and received the power, like Acts 1:8 said, and I was adopted, that I became at that point potential evidence, okay? I was potential evidence. So every time that I felt that I was falling apart, from any situation and the struggles of life and the pain should have became an opportunity to become evidence. That the song I sing every Sunday about he has never lost a battle is truth for someone else in the world, then they could be the eyewitness of that. So all this time he's been trying to make me an artifact of truth. So really, all of my issues and my problems, technically, they're not really mine. That's hard to grasp because, you know, I'm just like, yeah, I want all the problems and I want to be a crybaby. But, you know, Jesus, when you start asking questions and you get in his face, he's going to stop all that, like, cut it out. You know, as a parent, when you're just like, nah, no, cut it out, right? If you're going to be a witness, you can't criticize. I must learn to be a friend and not be the one that condemns. God didn't call us to be lawmakers. He called us to be lovemakers. One of the biggest parts of witnessing is not talking, but listening. So when you're listening to someone, that makes them feel important. When you're sitting in the midst of somebody and you have eye contact and you talking, that makes you feel important. It's not you really running your mouth. You just sit there and like just look at him. So all that stuff I was talking about, one, Jesus, I don't want to talk to people. Well, here you go. You don't have to talk anyway. You can sit and listen. How about that? Okay? So easy peasy. Stop complaining. So take yourself completely out of the equation. Well, not completely, but take yourself out of the conversation. Until God leads you to share your testimony, don't assume that someone wants to hear about you and your life and your problems and all that. Be interested in what they are interested in versus what I am interested in. Become a student of someone that you meet. You may find that you actually learn something that you never knew before from a stranger. Everything we do is typically motivated by our own interests and ambitions. We hear Pastor preach about that before. We move by our own ambitions. You know, I find out that, like young, that hellfire was real. It was in my own interest to get saved because I don't want to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. So in the Bible, the disciples weren't concerned about serving God initially just because they loved him. God met them at their need first. They were fishermen and he fulfilled a need first before he said, come follow me, before he said, if you love me, feed my sheep, before he said, love me, you'll obey me. So he filled a need first. Ask questions from the person that you're witnessing to. Jesus asked questions a lot in the Bible to other people. He got people talking by asking questions. In Genesis, you heard him say, where are you? Where's your brother? He asked the blind man, what would you like me to do for you? He heard a woman say, or he asked the woman who touched me. Before he performed miracles or laid hands on people, he was always asking questions. Ask the person questions. Get them talking so that you can hear what their need is, what their life is about. So when God opens the opportunity to pray for them or to share your testimony, you have that space to do that. Call people by their name. People like to hear their names. It makes them feel important as well. Remember someone's name when you meet them. Jesus called people's names throughout the Bible as well. Moses, Adam, where are you? You know. So I've heard this from a lot of sisters of mine and even some of my brothers from time to time to fix my face. Fix your face. Fix your face. Something like that. And the Lord brought that full circle. I ended up having to really challenge myself in 30 days a year to just smile. That was my assignment for a month. Smile. And I did earnestly try. And even sometimes when I smiled, I still heard fix your face. Because I was like, or trying to smile and not really smiling. But even with that assignment, you know, the Lord was just like, you know, it's more than just your smile. It's the condition of your heart. Let's work on the inside. So the smile is genuine. You know, people, you know, I can't walk around and tell how wonderful it is to live for Jesus while I'm looking like, right? Jesus, serving Jesus is wonderful. No. So this is what he's telling. He's working on me, y'all. He's working on me. And then the Lord was sharing with me to avoid arguments. Jesus never argued with the sinner. He was kind to sinners. An argument will not win them. When you win an argument, you lose. That was loud. You want to share, brother? When you win an argument, you lose a friend. We win people when they are open. And the secret to winning an argument is by saying two simple letters. Does anybody know what it may be? You know what it is? I'm sorry. That's more simple than that. Two letters. Thank you, Josiah. Come on up here, man. Yeah, for real. Say that a little louder. Okay. No, we ain't done, brother. Come on. You're just going to be. There we go. So the Bible says in Matthew 5:25 to agree with the adversary quickly. So we're just going to practice for a real quick second on how to win an argument. Someone says, I don't believe that Jesus died and rose. What do you say?
You lie.
Is that going to win him?
No.
Okay. Case closed. All right, let's try that again. I heard like three okays. I'm not convinced you're ready to win an argument. Someone says, I don't believe that Jesus died and rose. You say? I don't believe that you need to speak in tongues. And Jesus is not right. Jesus is not God. Okay. How do you win a fight with someone that when you're not fighting back? Okay. Right. Here we go. So put your hand up. All right. Push back. You're going to push back on my hand. We're fighting. Push, push. Where are we getting? Okay. So here we go. You're the fighter. I'm the okay. Here we go. Who? He's fighting by himself. Look, you all by yourself. I win. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going somewhere with that. So believe it or not, and just try it. Just try it for the fun of it. In your journey of becoming a witness. Next time, say okay. And watch that person go sit in his little whatever. Your evidence, you're staying strong, your evidence, you're being a witness, you're being the light. They're gonna sit and schmolder and be like, man, that fool didn't even fight back. Maybe there's something to that. You know, the woman at the well, she said, I perceive you know something more. Let them think and smolder in it and watch them come back and say, well, you know, so what is it about Jesus dying and rising? Because you didn't fight back. And then there's an opportunity, there's a door open for you to share the truth and become evidence. All right. You're drawing them in. You want to draw them in. He showed me that he is not looking for religion, but relationship. He's not looking for compromise, but commitment. He is not looking for us to lay down the law, but looking for us to lift love up. He's looking for us to be his fingerprints all over the world as evidence for those that need him. We are made in the image, listen to this, of a God. We are made in the image of a God, so act like it. Well, he told me that. I mean, maybe he's not telling you that. Okay. And he called us to not reconcile the church to God, but the sinner, the lost, to reconcile them to Jesus. None of us had the opportunity to be an eyewitness of Jesus being born in a manger and living out his life and the miracles, dying and roses. The disciples did, and they got to testify of that. There is a witness that testifies, but there's also a witness that is actually proof. Fast forward to us right now. We are proof that he's still living, that he's still moving, that everything that did happen really did happen. So we have been called to be the witness, the martyrs, evidence, the revealed truth to the soul that is searching for evidence that God is real. You have atheists out here that don't believe that there's a God. Stand strong. Stay as the evidence. You, Whitney, he's called you to be evidence of his love. November, he's called you to be evidence of forgiveness. Sister Stephanie, he's called you to be a living evidence of an overcomer. Sister Risa, he's called you to be evidence of patience. Deneen, he's called you to be evidence of faithfulness. Vania, he's called you to be evidence of gentleness. Don, he's called you to be evidence of kindness. And if there is someone that, I'm just tooting her horn, okay? But it's true, when we all talk about it, we know it, we see it, we see evidence of that, right? Sister Dawn, I appreciate her so much. Y'all, well, she prayed for me for a double portion. You know, I got to give her props. So anyway, that's how it rolls. So when you become a witness, remember to ask yourself, will I be seen as evidence of a living God on the earth? We can all stand. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, help us to walk this life as evidence and fingerprints of you. Let us remember and acknowledge the power that you've placed inside of all of us to be a witness like never before. The power that you've put inside of us, Lord God, to reach your world, oh Lord God, that they may see you through us. I thank you for this lesson. I thank you for the body. I thank you for my brothers and sisters and the fellowship, oh Lord Jesus. Help us to continue to grow together in love, oh Lord Jesus. Help us to grow, to excel, Lord God, and bust out with revival, oh Lord God, bringing souls, oh Lord Jesus, reconciling them to you, oh Heavenly Father, so that they can experience you, oh Lord Jesus, in a way that they have never before, oh Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, and we bless your name. Amen.